First one, John 14:9-12, and John 15:9-5, and Luke 10:38-41. So we read these. John 14:9-12. Jesus answered, "A long time I have been with you, Lord, yet you do not know me, for whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I have spoken to you," Jesus said to his disciples, "do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not, believe because of the things I do. I am telling you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do what I do. Yes, he will do even greater things because I am going to the Father." In John 15:5, "I am the real vine and my Father is a gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself, and do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me." And Luke 10, verse 38. Good News Bible said that Jesus visits Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at his feet of the Lord, sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do. So she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will be not taken away from her."
That we may grow like you. And Lord, your Spirit is amongst us, dwelling in us as we name you, Lord, and filling this place. So, Lord, the word that you have inspired in the writing, may that Spirit present with us inspire the speaking, and that our hearts would be responsive to what you say. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm engaged in the process here in the parish at the moment with the elders, and we're working through a process to try and discern something of what God may be saying to us about the mission here. And so what I'm going to do a bit this morning is a little bit what we did with the elders a couple of sessions ago. So, elders, you can be off the hook just a minute here. No, we can't leave you. But I want to ask the congregation first, in the light of that first reading that we had today, in Jesus saying about the ministry and things, what is it that as we read the Gospels, what are the things that we see in the Gospel stories that Jesus is doing? You can call out this morning, it's okay. What are the things that we see Jesus doing as we read the Gospels?
Answering questions.
Answering questions. Well, I'm asking them, so you've got to answer them today.
Healing people.
Healing people.
He did what he
heard the Father saying to do. Yeah, good one. He heard, he said, and he said also, oh, not only do I say what the Father tells me. Yep, good. Thank you.
Teaching often in parables.
Teaching in parables, telling stories.
He responded to people's needs.
He responded to people's needs. He loved people where they were, and the place they were. Come on, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, he taught about the kingdom of God, he demonstrated the kingdom of God. You were going to say all these things, weren't you? I know you were. Because you understand what it says in the Bible. Now listen to what he says in that passage this morning, in John 15, or 14 rather. He said, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have been doing. How do you respond? I think we should turn the heating off. How do you respond when you hear Jesus say that, having talked about some of those things that Jesus said that we see Jesus do, and he says to us through his word, you will do the same things.
It's quite terrifying
as well at the same time. Yeah, it is, isn't it? But then he compounds the issue because he says, because I'm going to the Father, you'll do greater things. Well, okay, Lord, this sounds like a two-year, you know? Yeah, right. What is he saying here? I think, as I read through the scriptures and I think of the mission of God's people, I think we see in these two statements, or one statement here of Jesus, encapsulated what the work of the church is. The work of the church is the body of Christ, that's the other term we use for the church, is to continue in our time and place where God has placed us, in the community where we are, here in the valley. We are to continue to be doing the same works in our community as Jesus would be doing if he were walking the streets of this community. That's what he's saying. That's our task as a church. Now, I'll get you off the hook a little bit. Don't interpret that as I did for so many years when I read, you will do the same things that I'm doing and you'll do greater things. Oh, heavens, Lord, I haven't even started doing the things you're doing, let alone greater things. Understand that in this term here in the New Testament, as is often the case, the word Y-O-U is generally you, collectively. And each one of us has been given and blessed with gifts from God. Ministries, callings, whatever you like. And they are to be used at the Lord's direction, thank you kindly, from the back there. Because that's the way Jesus said it worked. I only do what my Father tells me to. We are asked to be living in a relationship with the Lord because his Spirit dwells within us if we claim Jesus as Lord. To live in that same place, he says, come, follow me. Do as I do. He was a rabbi. He taught the way rabbis teach. He went out and he said, now guys, I've got you, my disciples here. Watch what I do, and as I do it, I'll tell you about it.
It was an internship, an apprenticeship. And then he said, okay, guys, now you go out and do it and I'll watch you. And then we'll debrief when you get back. And after a period of 3 years, he then said, okay, I'm leaving. But I'm not leaving because my spirit's coming to dwell with you, the same spirit that's in me. And you will go out and you will do these things all over the world, to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, you can't get much uttermost parts than here in relation to Jerusalem. That's the call. That's the mission. And each one of us has a part to play there. What does that mean? It means that I'm out on the farm, or I'm in the shop, or I'm at school, or I'm wherever I am. I'm living in that relationship with Jesus, where I hear his voice say, Bruce, do this. Or Bruce, don't worry about that. That's not your responsibility, but this is. And then acting on that. And it might be on occasion saying, Ross, you're not well. Oh, I better pick on Jeff because he's not well. Jeff, you're not well. Well, look, I'm awful sorry to hear about that, brother. It's a bit rough, really. The flu's not much fun. And I may hear inside that still small voice saying, pray for him. So, can I pray for you? I don't have to say, God has told me to pray for you. That's a bit heavy. But I ask, how did Jesus do it? What can I do for you? Sometimes he just simply said, be healed. Because that's what he heard his father say. So he was living in that relationship with his father that he heard, however he heard the voice of God, and he says, you are my body. This is what I ask of you. And believe it or not, friends, one day we are going to stand before him and he's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? So then we move on to the next part. In chapter 15. I'm the vine, and my father is the gardener. You're the branches. Remain in me, or some of the older ones said, abide in me. Remain in me. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I've been around the church all my life. And you know, we are the greatest thing God has got. And I hear it so often in the church, you know, God, and we don't say it this way, of course, we're much too clever for that, but God, thank you for all you've done for us. You just sit over there and let us get on with the job. And we'll tell you what needs to be done. And we'll ask you to bless what we're doing. How often do we actually stop and say to God, what is it that you want done? Where are you leading us? Abide in me, he said. Spend your time connected to me. And when you do that, he says, I will connect with you. I was thinking about this in relation to some of the stories that I get in a publication I receive from the Barnabas Fund. It's an organization that exists solely to support Christians who are suffering persecution in some of the places where they live. And recently, one of the stories was this. 17-year-old boy in Pakistan went to church one Sunday morning with his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, an aunt, an uncle, and his grandparents. Lovely family, all coming together. By the end of church, he was the only one who went home. All the others had been killed. Because two people had come into the church and blew themselves up.
in parts of northern Nigeria. Christians then go to worship on Sunday morning and not know if they're going to go home afterwards, because they may be massacred while they worship God. And that can be repeated across great swathes of the globe. You know what those people say, are reported as saying, when they suffer from these in these situations? They may do this to us, but they cannot take away our joy in the Lord. God is with us. I struggle when I read these stories. I can't begin to imagine what it must feel like to be in that situation. 17 and your family's wiped out while you're worshipping God. Or in other places, you are just going around your normal daily life at home and suddenly a mob comes through the village. And because you're Christians, your home is looted, then burnt, and you have to flee for your life. Abide in me, says Jesus. And then he says, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, he says, you will bear much fruit. Now, Ellen and I never talked about what she was doing this morning, what I was doing this morning, but this is the fruit Jesus is talking about. It's the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of Jesus. And that's what the work of the Holy Spirit within us is doing in us, making us more and more like Jesus. And Jesus says to us, you know, as you abide in me, and as you take the understanding of Scripture, to the degree that you abide in me, to the degree that you allow me to work in your life and through your life, is the degree to which the kingdom of God is working in and through you. It is calling for a deep relationship. You know what this is? It's my phone. It's an Android. It's not an iPhone. I haven't a clue what Android is. And if you try and explain to me what an Android is, you'll probably leave me completely. I better not let my little black book be seen on the names. You'd bamboozle me because I wouldn't know. But that doesn't matter. I don't need to know what an Android is, except that if my phone is an Android phone, doesn't have an Android system in it, it's no good as a phone. That's what makes it work. And onto that, I can add all sorts of apps. You remember that TV ad they had a while back, the tech and the sick man, who said, you know, about apps on phones? He said, if you're wondering about whether it has, it probably does. Well, I've got one here. And I just push it there and it says it's food switch. And it uses the camera and I can actually see you all here, but as you don't have barcodes on you, it's not going to be any good. But, you know, it's got a line runs across the middle of the picture, a little dot that goes backwards and forwards. And if I put it on a barcode of a product, it goes zip across there and then it comes up and it tells me how much salt is in it, how much fat's in it, how much unsaturated fat, and whether this is a good thing or not. And then it lists whether there are better alternatives. Yeah. Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah. But I tell you, the first time I used it, I downloaded it, and I said, oh, this is cool. So I grabbed the Marmite jar out of the cupboard, and I ran it across the thing here. Whoa, I became, you know, and it told me all the things about salt and all the stuff and whatever about it. And then you know what it said? I nearly took it off the phone. It said Vegemite was better. I thought, how dare it say that the Aussies put out a better product? And it was only better because it had a little bit less salt in it. I've also got another one here that I use because I need to do lots of walking and it measures how far I've gone, how fast I've gone, and
keeps a record of all that. So if I go to the doctor and he says, you keep me up, you exercise, I just open up and say, here, this is the log of what I'm doing. The question that I want to ask in relation to this, and I think it relates to what Jesus is saying here, is Jesus the Android system, or is he just simply an app we pull out sometimes? Is he the one who is at the heart of our life, who governs everything that we do? Or is he the sort of port of last call when we've run out of all other options? So we come to Mary and Martha. And don't we love that story? I'm very much a Mary. I can tell you that now by nature. And I think I dwell amongst the people who are very much like Mary. I'm much happier if I'm doing things. I find sitting down to quietly spend time with the Lord, listening to him, very difficult. And here's Mary and Martha, and Jesus comes to call. Mary just sits at Jesus' feet, simply enjoying his presence, his company, and the conversation. Because to her, this is the most wonderful and important thing. And Martha also is thrilled to bits having Jesus in the house. But she does that and shows her love by rushing around like mad, getting the duck ready to put in the oven so that we can have it for tea last night. Providing hospitality. This was her expression of the love. But she gets so frustrated with her sister because, man, she's hassled. And she comes out and she doesn't tick off Mary. She does that by going through Jesus to tick off Mary. She says to Jesus, don't you worry that I'm rushing around so much and my sister's just sitting here doing absolute nothing. At least you could tell her, oh, you better go and give her a hand, you know. And Jesus' reply is one of great love to Martha. Oh, Martha, Martha. In my Bible it says, dearest Martha. Mary's chosen the right. And I won't take away. Mary was abiding with Jesus. Mary was seeing that nothing in life was more important than him. Mary was living out the fact that Jesus was the Android system of her life, not just simply an app. I think Martha, much as she loved Jesus, was also seeing him a bit as an app. So mission, the mission of this congregation, the mission of all God's people, is first and foremost working with Jesus on our relationship with him. What number of years have you been celebrating this year for your wedding anniversary? 28. Now we'll have some here that'll be close on 50, 40. We're over 40. You know, I'm sure you two are the same as the rest of us. You are actually in some ways comfortable in the relationship but still growing, still developing. We're still discovering things about one another that we didn't know. Because life is having effects upon us as we grow, as we mature, as we get older. And so this is a never-ending source of wonderment as we continue and develop our relationships one with another. How much more so the relationship of the one who at the beginning said, let there be. And so it was. And the one who lives within us by his Spirit, that Spirit that was there at that time when he said, let there be. And the Spirit waited for the word. The first was light. And we call it the Big Bang. That is the Spirit that lives within us. All the depths, all the riches of this relationship with Jesus. He knows, and he's at work in this community doing his mission. The trick for us is to stop long enough to discern what he's doing and then say, can I help? Can I get involved?
Yes, sure.
And I will give you gifts, he says, that will enable you to do the things that I ask of you. And so the mission is not to get people to cross the threshold into this building. The mission is to take Jesus out of this building, that he may meet through us, meet the people of this community. Because wherever we are, as followers of Jesus, there Jesus is. So together, as we are working in the Lord's service, we will do greater things simply because Jesus is replicated in a sense by the number of us who come to this meeting. So the effect should be greater. And I don't know about you, but as I look around this nation, we are desperately in need of the Lord more than ever. And folks, we who claim to know him is the vehicle he's chosen to let the world know that we can be reconciled with him. That's it, us. Abide in me, because apart from me, you can do nothing. I just want to finish with a question I asked a young man about 4 or 5 years ago. We were having an email conversation, he was in Christchurch. And I rattled off this question as a result of their conversation and flicked it off. And then, you know, about 2 hours later, I realized the question that I asked. It came back and bit me. And I've been thinking about it a lot since then. The question is this, and I leave it with you. Am I in love with Jesus or the idea of Jesus? Am I in love with Jesus or the idea of Jesus? We can talk over morning tea. Let's pray. Lord, for your word, we give you thanks. Lord, that you are at work in our nation and in our community here, we give you thanks. Lord, that we have so often rushed around all over the place and not taken time to seek you or hear your voice or learn how to hear your voice, we ask that you would forgive us. Lord, you would help us to abide in you so that you abide in us. And bring us, Lord, to the realization that apart from you, we can do nothing. That you would be the Android system in our lives and not the app. And that we may be in love with you for who you are. And Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.